Joining us here on this Tuesday, we normally chat on Mondays, but we got Kristen Myers today, and we're thrilled to have her from The Balance, the editor-in-chief. Kristen, good to chat with you today.
Hey, John. It doesn't matter the day of the week. I'm always happy to talk with you.
Amen. That's how I feel as well. Okay, let's start today's conversation talking about home prices, only because, you know, like everything in this economy, there's sort of mixed signals on both sides, right? Like inflation numbers are going up. It feels like we've seen some softening in some numbers, but it's a difficult time to buy still. Yes? No? I mean, where are we at with that?
I mean, this is the number one question I think I've been getting lately, and it's, should I buy a house now, or should I wait it out and hope that home prices are going to fall? I mean, my family is actually in real estate, and it's even a question that I'm constantly posing to my parents about what they're seeing. Should I stay? Should I go? And unfortunately, there is no crystal ball right now and no definitive answer on this. All I can tell you is that do not expect a housing crash of like 2008. If you were hoping for that and that home prices were going to absolutely tank and that you'd be able to snag a deal, that is pretty unlikely. You're going to be waiting a very, very long time for that to happen. But then on the flip side, mortgage rates are only going up and up and up. So sometimes the longer you wait, more expensive that house might be.
Right. And you kind of really, and by the way, if you're hoping for a housing economic crash like 2008, there's a good chance you might lose your job along with that too, because that tanked the whole economy. Just putting that out there. So don't wish for anything too drastic. But yeah, I mean, it's an idea. I think it's really up to the individual buyer, right? Like if you're someone that can absorb a little bit in the interest rate, a couple hundred bucks a month extra, knowing that and hoping that in a few years you could refinance, now might be a good time for you. But if that couple hundred extra dollars is going to stretch your budget to the point where you can't take it anymore, then no, now isn't a good time and it's not going to get better.
That is absolutely right. This is really honestly going to be one of those numbers games where you're going to have to figure out, hey, because we are hearing that home prices are starting to come down a little bit. And that is true. And we're even seeing home buyers say, you know what, these mortgage rates are far too high. And they're actually backing out of these home sales. So we're seeing cancellations actually going to their highest levels since the start of the pandemic in April 2020. So there is clearly a shift happening. And experts right now are anticipating that home prices will come down between 5 and 10%. Over at least the next year and next couple of years. But does that 5 to 10% decrease in the home price offset that increase in your mortgage rate? It's really going to depend on what city you live in. Some cities have much higher home prices than others. I'm looking at you, Phoenix, Arizona. and some areas are doing a little bit better. Prices are a little bit more moderate. So it really all depends. I think the key here is really going to be to stay as flexible as you possibly can, get pre-approved for a mortgage. If you see something you like and the dollars and the cents, they all add up for you, then you might want to pull the trigger. And as you mentioned, you don't have to stay with the mortgage rate that you have been given. You can always refinance at a later date if mortgage rates do decline, and you can then save long-term on that interest.
Yeah, I have expert after expert on here talking about don't try and time the overall market. I think the same can be said for the housing market. You've got to make your own personal decision whether it works for you or not. Waiting isn't a guarantee of anything. Kristen, we're going to put you on hold. We're going to talk about pay raises and more coming up in a bit. We got Kristen Myers continuing our conversation from The Balance. And Kristen, I know there's a lot of people out there that say, hey, I didn't get that raise that everyone was talking about, or I got one, now it's been a year and a half or so. But oh no, I hear doom and gloom potentially on the economy. Maybe it's not such a good time to ask for one right now. Are they still giving out raises?
They are still giving out raises, at least when it came out to that jobs report that we got on Friday. So wages have actually increased about 5.1%. And so, you know what? This is a time we're about to get inflation data out, right? Tomorrow, John, and we're already hearing the White House trying to already tell folks, you know what, that inflation data is already old, which is true.
Right.
It is looking backwards. It's for June, and we are in the month of July already. So, of course, this data is a little bit already outdated. But what we do know is that, hey, inflation, unfortunately, is going to be here for a while, and it actually has heated up even more. That's at least what's expected to happen in June. So we'll see what happens tomorrow.
Yeah.
I say that
go ahead,
because
keep going. Sorry.
It means your income is not worth as much. And so the best way for you to really fight inflation, there's a lot of different ways, but one of the best ways is to actually get more money. And so with inflation continuing to go up, now is really a great time for you to go to your boss and say, hey, I'm going to need more money if I'm going to make it through this period of high inflation.
Right. And, you know, I did see that data, too, that wages were still going up, but we've started to see a little softening. So that window, you know, that might be closing.
It absolutely is, which is why you really want to go ask for that raise now before it's too late. Because once we are, if we do go into a recession, once we're in a recession, that is not the time to be asking for a raise. That's the time to really just make sure that you can, that you're increasing, you know, your emergency savings, and hopefully you're not going to lose your job. So that is not the time that you're going to go to your boss and say, hey, you know, I deserve a 12% raise. Right. So you really want to do it now while companies are still doing pretty well and they are still increasing salaries. And of course, right now, workers are still in the driver's seat. You know, there still are a lot of job openings out there. And so this is the time, if you are switching jobs, if you're, you know, out there looking for a new job, or if you're trying to negotiate a promotion or a raise, to really make sure you get that higher salary now.
I just saw a report about the euro basically at the level of the dollar, 1-to-1, for the first time since 2002. And I'm reading right now on The Balance about how to buy euros as an investment. Can you explain why that might be a good idea for people, and maybe explain it to someone like me who doesn't really understand how to invest in currency?
Absolutely. Yeah, I remember when the euro and the dollar were last in parity. And for all those travelers that are out there, this is nice because now you don't have to go to a store or sit at a restaurant trying to figure out how many dollars this is worth now. So two big things. I'll just quickly say this. If you are someone who is going to be traveling to Europe in the next couple of weeks or months, this is a great time for you to snag some items that might be on the higher end. Perhaps it's your luxury goods, whether it's purses or shoes or anything else, because things are cheaper in Europe and you don't have to pay the tax there. Right. And now the euro and the dollar are equal. So you're definitely going to be able to snag a lot of savings. I know too many people forget about that, and then they come home and then they try to buy something very expensive for Christmas or someone's birthday, and they're missing out on so much money in savings. Now, when it comes to buying other currencies, you can almost think of it a little bit like buying stocks, for example, right?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you go out there and you purchase a stock, let's say for $10, and you think it's going to be going to $20. So then you've made an 100% profit. You've made an extra $10. Well, the same thing can happen with currencies. If you think that the euro is going to increase in strength in the future, if you buy a bunch of euros now, it's 1-to-1 because the U.S. dollar has gotten stronger, and the euro then goes to 1 euro for $1.50, mm-hmm. or almost even $2. Well, now you've really made a nice and tidy profit. But you don't have to necessarily buy euros directly. You could also purchase euros with ETFs, for example, just like you would other assets.
Right. And that graph is pretty incredible. And obviously, it's the first time since 2002. I was just in London, and I was lucky to go to Paris for a honeymoon. And when I started buying things in London, I was doing the old 2-to-1 ratio for the pound sterling. And then I found out that it was only 1.2. And I was like, what a thrill. Of course, these things that excite me now as an adult are different than when I was younger. But it was a nice little bonus. You mentioned that inflation number in the White House. We're going to play an audio clip a little bit later in the program from the press briefing about how they're already kind of laying the groundwork of what to expect. But if it is a big number, and I know we can say it's delayed, it's not quite what it is, and the White House can say that all they want, people are going to be looking at this number for some sort of confidence, and they may not get it tomorrow.
No, they won't. And I think the reason people are so frustrated, besides the fact that, of course, anytime you go to the store, right, we're all spending so much more money. Things that cost less just, you know, several months ago are now costing us so much more. But because we're also hearing the Federal Reserve raising interest rates, we're seeing our, you know, mortgage rates consistently go up. And so I think a lot of people are rightly asking, okay, well, when is inflation going to go down? If the Federal Reserve is doing this to fight inflation, when are we actually going to start winning that battle? And that really remains to be seen right now. But already, as you're mentioning, the White House really laying that groundwork so that everyone is not surprised or shocked or dismayed. No screams of horror tomorrow if those inflation numbers have gone up, because they are expected to have gone up. 8.8% is the forecast for tomorrow morning. It was 8.6% in May. So again, we are seeing that inflation go up. And of course, the big question is, when will it finally come down?
I'm on the balance.com on the main webpage, which is a site you should go and visit. You get a nice roundup of everything happening in the world economically, good advice, good things to read. And one of the things you have on the right is the money snapshot. It's a little bit like our numbers that we start our show with on the day. And this days till federal student loan suspension ends, you know, it keeps on springing up when it gets closer to zero and we're at 50. Any prognostication if they're going to keep on delaying this? Is it a thing that it's going to get delayed till after the midterms? Any thoughts or rumblings about that?
That's such a good question. I wish I knew the answer to that question, because I have student loans, and I would also love to know an answer to this question. Should I hold on and hope that the president cancels our student loans, or should I just start paying it down now while I've got 0%? Look, I mean, the president has already said that the decision is probably going to be coming late summer, early fall, which would actually put it dab smack when this federal loan extension ends. And so we might be able to get some sort of decision. Now, what that decision will be, of course, remains to be seen. The president has seemed a little bit reluctant to give a blanket debt forgiveness or debt cancellation, because a lot of folks have said that it really benefits top earners in the United States, which is true. Typically, if you have student loan debt, you've gone to college, and that right. usually means that you have a higher income than those that did not have a higher than those that did not go to college. So there might be a possibility that there is an announcement. It might go to folks who are earning less than $150,000 a year, for example.
It might only be
$10,000. So we will have to see.
Sorry I made you look into the crystal ball, Kristen Myers. I appreciate it. Thanks for joining us today, as always.
Of course. Thanks for having me.
Editor-in-chief from The Balance. All right, let's take a break. Then the news here on WGN.